Hello, Donald.
Hi there. Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Yeah, you know what? I'm fine. I can't complain. How about yourself?
I'm okay. I'm talking to you, so it doesn't get much better than this.
Oh, well, God, flattery will get you everywhere.
You know my love for you.
Oh, you're so fantastic. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
And I guess we should talk about this wonderful, amazing work on Tron Ares. Donald,
Oh.
oh my God. Your makeup work is so nuanced and so glorious in this film. The eyes are so important in this film. Jared's
Yeah.
eyes as Ares, Jodie's eyes as Athena. Because they are essentially immobile for the most part. They're very robotic, very grid-like. So
Yeah.
the expressive part is their eyes. But then, especially with Jared as Ares, we see his skin. The pallor and texture of his skin changes as he
Right.
moves through the grid and into reality. And eventually into permanence. The subtlety with which you have done his makeup is extraordinary. I'm watching that and I'm watching, looking at his skin and his eyes when we first see him, and we're introduced to Ares. And I mean, flawless. And it has kind of almost a plasticine sense to it. And then it changes as he interacts with Greta's character of Evie, and it just what you have done is just incredible. How did you even start tackling this? Because you've got Ares, you've got Athena, you have the Dillinger world, which is predominantly red tones and robotics. You've got the Encom and Evie world, which is reality. And then you've got the incredible Flynn's world with the bluish gray, purpley undertones and gray and grain for Jeff and for Jared. Just where do you start breaking this down from a makeup standpoint? For this, because this is incredible.
Well, I think what was important was Jared really, Ares, the whole thing of Ares, he did not, I reference AI, Jude Law, and I love that film, but he didn't, it wasn't, this was AI rather than a robot. So it was creating a sort of something about his face and the girls, but especially Athena, that's so perfect. It's so almost unreal or not human, where, when you look at magazines and people say to you all the time, like, oh, look at that airbrush, blah, blah, blah. But that's essentially what this was, because you didn't really know, is he AI? I mean, there are moments you kind of look, and of course, Jeff Cronin, with a brilliant cinematographer who I'd worked with before, it really was the first time in a lot, not since maybe Roger Deakins, to work with a DP that would call me over to the DI and say, look, what do you think here? Is this working? Or being so inclusive and not where like makeup's an added, like, oh, geez, that I would get called in for Greta's close-up, Jodie's, Aries close-ups, that we worked together. So it was so unbelievable, Debbie. I cannot tell you. And I haven't had that in such a long time.
Oh, well,
In such a long time, where people said, hey, get Donald in here. And, we would look and go, I'm a little worried because if I do this, it's going to look that. And, the lighting is so extreme in Tron, and you've got the in the grid and off grid. So when he becomes a bit human and the hair loosens up and, he starts to perspire and then they go through the beat up and everything, which was my favorite part, because one day Jared said to me, God, he goes, I look really good like that. Well, everybody looks good beat up. And they just do. And he said, do you think maybe? And I said, don't go there. because I think he realized, because, you know, this is a guy who's, you know, I just personally really, really, really like and admire, and for his work. And I think that what he put into the film, I'm so sorry people are not being nice about it, because not only are they hurting that the film, which they have succeeded, it's hurting us. It hurts me.
Yeah.
It actually hurt me really deeply, because I haven't, certain films you go, hey, they're not going to like it. But this hurt me because I feel like everybody's saying, oh, the work, movies are dead. Well, yeah, they're dead because y'all killed it. And I feel back to that, you know. So from a cinematic point of view, if everybody could just get off their high horse and just went and said, look, what we did for Athena. You have a film that had two women of color.
Yep.
To do the actual makeup around two women of color and the white dude in that lighting, it mm-hmm. was very, very on point for makeup.
Yeah.
What we had to do, because Jody would go ash very easily. You know, we had a moment where I did her makeup the first time here in LA, and I went, wow, well, you look great, but let's wait till we get to the grid. They wanted me to be the hair makeup designer, but of course, in America, we typically don't do both. But I, at that point, I really decided I'm going to be in charge of this. And then the bleaching, I think it was Jody's idea to Camille. And that, and shaving the eyebrows were all happy accidents.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did her makeup, the first day after the eye, you know, the studio fell apart. They were just having kittens. She did what? And I said, but you know what? I can make this work, because it reminded me of the 80s when we did those stupid eyeshadows, you know, where
yes.
you did the whole eyelid and you kind of connected it at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Like the end of your upper eyelid met with the tip of your eyebrow. Does that make sense?
Where you, yes.
You, and so what I did, I mean, I was terrified because Joachim was outside the trailer and I was getting phone calls. And saying, what are we going to do, is that I said, look, I have an idea. And I basically did, you know, look, Grace Jones, that was yeah. always my inspiration. I took a big, like, crayon, a blue, one of those blue Dior crayons, thick, chunky one, and drew it. And I just kind of blended it. And I said, Jody, I think we can make this work. And it was her idea to do an extended reverse eye line. So instead of doing it the way we would typically, it sort of replaced her eyebrow, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
And reversed it, and she put it, and I thought, that's really, this is going to work. And that's great collaboration. And then, of course, as a very dark-skinned black woman, you then have the added thing of, it's very hard now. The challenge is in this light between the three, especially the two of them.
Yeah.
And it was a really great challenge and kind of fun, because the makeup, with every close-up, they would be like, Donald, do you think we need a tiny bit of powder on the far right side of Jared's upper cheekbone? Or that's how precise it was.
And I'm watching all of this in the film, and I'm seeing that this truly is one of those times where the collaboration between makeup and the DP is critical, because Jeff is using all of those amazing robotic arms, the motion control stuff from Sisu.
Yeah.
And coming yeah. in for these, not even ECUs, but macros on the eyes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that, the makeup had to be so perfect and so precise, especially on some of those where he zooms in and goes in for this macro where Jared is like on his side and then he yeah. rolls the camera and then brings it out. But we see those gorgeous eyelashes and the skin so taut and tight and
yeah.
seamless, flawless. You two had to work so closely for
yeah.
Jeff to pull off those kind of shots because of the lighting differential and because of those motion control robotics that got the camera in so, so, so close. I'm surprised.
Yeah,
I'm surprised it wasn't touching Jared's eyelashes. That's how
there were a couple that were so that were actually so close, and that before he would go in, they'd let me, you know, have a second. And because I've never made up a man like that in my career, never, like to that point where he's got everything. He's got eyeshadow. He's got he's got eyebrows painted and cheeks, all of that, and like three or four different colors of base, and then like a bronzer and all these different things. I've never really done a man's face like that, but it had to be done. Same thing with Greta. Like, it had to be so, but it had to be based on each lighting. So,
yeah.
Like, Jeff did an amazing job. He's such a nice man. There's no arrogance to him. There's no, you feel like you're making a movie together. And then the VFX guy, Dave, did an amazing job. But same thing. You know, there's stuff you had to kind of bring the shine up, take it down. There were a couple times I didn't agree, like with the producer saying, maybe this should be more matte. Or Joe said, you never powder a black woman. Just trust me. Trust me.
Oh, that would not look good. That would not look good.
No, it's also a cultural thing because some people won't understand. There are certain things about sort of black is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Where you have to be really careful now. Like, you're not overstepping. It's a cultural thing. The skin has to look radiant and luminous. So for me, everything was about luminosity. And so whether it was Greta or Jody or Jared, I mean, there was something about it. And, you know, I had a company that I love in Tokyo. I had them custom make a color for Jody.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's so beautiful. And you know, using different things. Same thing with Greta. I had them do a custom because I wanted it to be, you know, one of those things where, and I joke around saying, well, I want it to be something nobody else has. But kind of, it felt sort of a little bit bespoke,
mm-hmm.
you know, to do that. And then they're in the suit, so, like, what else are you going to do? Like, the hair is bleached, you know, Greta's hair has got this ponytail, and it's all pulled tight. So it's really all her face.
Yeah.
And most people won't do a face. Jared with the hair, so at first I thought that's horrible, but it worked. Because it looked a little bit like a Thor, you know. It had a retro rock kind of feel, mm-hmm. the 80s.
It had an 80s and glam rock feel to it.
Exactly, and that's when I thought, I didn't go further with Jack, because I think that would have taken it, the makeup and the hair and the costume would be a little competitive.
I think it might have been a little cartoony looking as well.
Yeah, yeah, and I think, you know, for that, I wish we'd seen maybe more of, there were other people, you know, on the grid, but they focused really on those guys.
Yeah. Working with Jeff Bridges, in creating the look for Kevin Flynn, that is such a cool blend of color. And especially given the lighting, which is so different than anything else that Cronenweth has done on set. But then we also get that anamorphic kind of grain or the slightly MTV video static look on top of it.
Yeah.
How challenging was it coming up with that makeup, especially since Jeff is so bearded, but he has life-lived wrinkles that you really want to see?
Full credit goes to Tomas Nellen, who's been his makeup guy for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were only there for 3 days. And it was wonderful. Well, one, Jeff coming in, it just changed. It was so interesting. It was a breath of fresh air. Here's this, you know, older actor. It was such a breath of fresh air. Everybody, the whole set changed. Jared changed. Everybody did. What he brought to it. And such a lovely guy. And, of course, I knew I'd worked with his father and his brother and his nephew and what a great guy. And he was, I think it was really interesting what you're saying, because that's the only time as well Jared looks a bit kind of craggly too.
Yeah.
And it was with that, what you said, like that MTV, and I never thought of it, but that's so interesting because it was the most distinct lighting difference to me, mm-hmm. in the whole film, apart from the volume. But Tomas just did a very kind of, just a solid what he would normally do. But I do remember, he did bring up some color to warm it up because I think Jeff would have gone really too flat.
Mm-hmm.
And you need that contrast, especially when you get gray and white hair and a gray beard.
Yeah.
You know, like when you see some older women that are all, it's wonderful that when they have natural hair, but when the face is very pale and the hair is light, you kind of look all one color, and it's not as flattering sometimes at a certain age.
Yeah, it makes you look kind of albino.
Washed out.
Yeah.
Something. Yeah. So that was Jeff. And, you know, we had such nice people, really. Jeff, I mean, I wish he'd been there longer, but it really was at the very end. He came in for 3 days.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. But yeah, I love seeing Jared in that light and the pallor of his skin and what you're doing with the makeup there. Because that's a totally different look for Jared.
It's very different for a guy who normally does prosthetic makeup jobs. It was really interesting, you know, to be on this journey because, you know, I think he's a great actor, but he's kind of like Johnny Depp, where he got used to always having a mask.
Yes.
And a couple times I said, listen, just hear me out on this, because he'll do anything to wear a nose or something, contact lenses. I know what that is. I mean, the actresses do it always because it's a veil. You can put your lashes on. You can overdry your lips. You can, you know, the girls can do a lot with corrective beauty makeup, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But the men can't. And that's why doing makeup on men is so much harder, because you're going to get caught if you try to draw up, like, I think years ago of Jason Robards, you know, because he'd suffered a terrible car accident years earlier. You could see above his lip that you had to sometimes do a little corrective work to join up his lip that had been severely, lacerated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with Jared, what it was to say to him, let's try this. And when he finally saw it, and he was a producer, so he had a lot of control.
Mm-hmm.
He looked, when I went to the first round of dailies, I think they were very pleasantly, because I said, I can make you up that you'll feel like it's a bit of a mask because you've got a lot on, which you would never normally do. I mean, I wouldn't do that on Jake or Daniel Craig or anything, but for this is the character. And I think with the hair kind of not moving and then sealing his face like that, he did say to me, you know, this is kind of interesting for me. And I think it started to work. He started to get more comfortable. Initially, he was very, very nervous.
I love it. I love the look. And I love how we see his look transform as the film goes on. I mean,
oh, it's my favorite. When he, you know, by the time he gets more, and the hair loosens and he wound across his forehead or side of his face.
Yep.
For me, I really felt like when he says, I don't know why people are just so awful about it, because when I saw it again at the Academy, the moment, you know, where he said, you know, I feel, or I'm feeling something, I just thought there was something really, I understood Tron by that.
Mm-hmm.
But I understood, and now all the kind of nerdy people who, you know, love Tron, I never really understood, I became more familiar. I do get it, and the in-grid, off-grid, and there was something very moving about it.
You actually see his humanity emerge.
Correct.
And
that shot
that Jeff got of Jared on the ground and Greta after the big battle with Athena and Ares, and they're on the ground, and he goes in for a close-up, and you've got just a slight profile of Greta, and you really see that side of Ares' face, all, you know, dirty and burnt out, and but you see the color, the natural skin tone color coming through. And the subtlety with which you do that, Donald, is just fabulous. Because in that moment, you really connect with Ares as a person, as a human being. And it's tremendous.
Oh, I appreciate it. It really, and you know, you get it, though. You have a very detailed eye, and subtlety and nuance is everything. It's everything in acting. I just wish, sometimes people forget that. It's everything in acting, but people always, you know, it's kind of, you know, the Jimmy Stewarts or the Charles Laughton. Right?
Yep.
And, you know, the guy who's got the big, and I'm happy I've done those movies, as you know, where, you know, I'll put somebody in a fat suit, I'll do a nose, we'll do it. But in this, there was nothing really that could, except really practical, great quality makeup and lighting. and occasional some digital cleanup and the whole film in that lighting, you know, in the red. And you think this could come look so terrible. The, you know, it's kind of like doing black and white, which I've never worked in. I'd love to. But I do think of it as the same challenge.
Yeah. I think you would be amazing doing a black and white film.
Oh, I'd love one opportunity before I finish, but who knows?
I think your work, you are custom tailored to do a black and white film.
Oh, let's put it out there in the universe and make it happen. I want to work with Jeff again. I think he's up and back in Vancouver doing the prequel to Social Network. I think that's what it is.
I know he supposedly started something.
Yeah.
But now, I have to ask you, I am so in love with Dillinger's printed circuit board schematic tattoos, that makeup work.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Donald, I saw that and I was transported back to being 10 or 11 when my dad, who of course was a television engineer for 60 years, taught me how to make printed circuit boards and how to use the board that you had to use. And you had on paper, but then you had to transfer it. And you always had to use a Sharpie marker to get the design perfectly. And then it would soak in a bath to eat away the coating on the board. And then you would start drilling in the little circle holes, which is where your connections of transistors and resistors would go. And you would solder on the flip side. So I'm looking at that and it's like, took me back right away. But the detail of those kind of schematics, be it on paper or be it on somebody's body, is just so impressive. And it really is like the blueprint for computers, for the grid.
Yeah.
That's the basic blueprint. And those are just fantastic.
Oh, they were really... I wish... You know, I think I don't know, sometimes I think if I were in charge, I would have loved one. I like the character so much, and I think in my head, I don't know why I do this. Sometimes I just plan for a bigger picture. It's just what I do. And so I somehow thought, oh, there'll be a scene where I thought it'd be great if he were in that office and he changed his shirt and you would see the whole body.
Yes.
And, okay, so that's me going way out of, like, not staying in my lane. But I kind of, this came up because of Evan, who was such a treat. Like, I had, you know, wasn't sure. I knew him from all those, you know, Murphy things. What a treat. It took a minute to kind of connect with him. But when I met him way in pre-production, I went to his fitting and we talked and he started talking about, like, again, I think comes at it very much like Jared Leto would, was like, how do you define this character? Where, again, he's like been in a lot of TV, the Dahmer, all those other things, where the makeup and hair was very much establishing the character.
Yes.
And I think Evan came at it like, Donald, what do I do? What's my thing? And I made him laugh because I said, you know, you've got to do it like, oh, God. Gypsy, you know, bump it with a trumpet.
Oh.
And he goes, what does that mean? I said, well, the fabulous Kate Nelligan, who's my great actress, wonderful, long retired, always says to me, possum, it's bump it with a trumpet. And then I realized, I thought, she's talking about Gypsy, you know, with the strippers.
Yes.
Play a trumpet. And, you know, and I thought, so I said that to him. He had no clue. And I told him the story of Kate Nelligan and bump it with a trumpet. And, you know, the actors that have to have a nose or a hump on their back or a cane or a top hat. And here you are. So he wanted. But, you know, I thought it was a very good idea, except it would be more hidden and that we'd have a reveal. So I had this fantasy, which just hear me out on this one. My total fantasy was you don't see the tattoos except for one scene where his shirt would open up or come up, something would happen, and that Joachim would go along with it and say, what a great idea. And he's got some weird relationship with his mother. And I said, oh my God, this, and he sent me a couple pictures and I sent him a thing of Tom Hardy and Beckham, you know, those awful tattoos, but we can do better. And he said, well, what would it look like? And we talked about a computer, a board, a circuit board. Mm-hmm. And that's how that came to be. And talk about a collaboration. So when I introduced it, everybody said, don't worry, we're just going to see the wrist, whatever. But everybody loved it once it was on. And I do wish we had had that one scene, because it would have defined the character in a very different way, and how the mother, that relationship they have. Because I did say to him, these are people where you don't show your mother you have tattoos. That's hidden.
Right.
Right? And which is why men always, remember, back in the day, you had to wear a long sleeve shirt. You couldn't work in a bank if you had tattoos.
That's it. That's it. There are a lot of places, you know, but
that's right.
I kept waiting. I kept thinking we're going to get a full chest reveal.
I know.
I kept waiting for that.
I know. It just killed me. So then suddenly they decide they like these, and they kept showing. We did so many inserts. I spent a fortune, because my tattoo guy, Kentaro, who does all my tattoos for 20, 25 years, you know, like he did for Rebecca Ferguson, for Dune, I just went, Ken, they're killing me. This has become a commercial for these tattoos. And we kept doing, oh, now we're going to shoot Evan over. Guys, I only have 2 sets left. It was only supposed to be for 4 days. And we were into now like 15, you know, it's a big application. They're very, very hard to put on. Those ones are, you know, even with a team of 2 or 3 of us, they're very hard to put on.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine. Yeah.
And he's a delightful guy. What a delightful person.
Oh, my God. I am just in love. I was enthralled with those. And I am disappointed. I will tell you, I'm disappointed.
Well, we didn't. So, kind of, like I said to Emily, kind of, like, I know it's gone badly, whatever. You hear all, you just kind of think, but sometimes there's artistry in it.
Yes.
People are forgetting what VFX did, what Jeff did, what I did, the suits. I mean, and the music. I mean, come on.
Yeah. And
but I don't know.
With this film, all of these different disciplines, this is one of those films, and they're very rare, where each is so interdependent upon the other. Your work is interdependent on Jeff Cronenweth. Jeff's lighting, to a large degree, is dependent on what you can do with makeup and hair. And then the costume, that also is affected by the lighting. And what fabric is it made out of? Because what is the sheen going to be? How is that going to look with the makeup that you're doing? And then the energy that comes from the music. And how that can infuse how the camera is being operated and the speed at which it's being, you know, navigated. So this is such an interdependent film, and
yeah,
it's hand in hand in hand, and I think it's fantastic.
Well, I just, you know, I think it's so rare, and if we don't,
yeah,
I think if we don't start helping each other and getting, I mean, look, what you do is so amazing, and your support of over the years of me is so tremendous, and it's not without, you know, I know it. There are people who just, you know, and you think, I don't know. There's something about watching stuff now. We were talking about this yesterday. I went to somebody's place for dinner, and I said, you know, there was a time where people, like working with a Kate Nelligan, when I think of her in Prince of Tides and mm-hmm. playing the mother and how good she was. Can you imagine? She was 10 years younger than Nick Nolte and played his mother.
Wow.
And Kate's so beautiful. I mean, she played the role as a young woman with the kids. Remember that?
Yes.
Eating the father dog food, and then the older one, where she's just awful, horrible ice queen, right? Southern matriarch. But I miss that, because people like Kate was someone you could really talk to and say, if I wear lipstick, it's this. If I do the hair like this, it's that. What do you think? And I felt like that on this movie. So it made me a little bit sad, I guess, being such a baby about it, going, I know people don't have to love anything, but, you know, people fell all over other movies where I thought they were really imperfect and nobody had to point it out. But in terms of craft of what we all do, it should be celebrated more, not kind of ignore it. And that's kind of where I think Evan was great because he came at it from a very interesting, I think he could be a big movie star, you know? The way he comes at something, I thought was very, very interesting, because in the TV world, you don't have those opportunities, the nuance of seeing something like a sleeve rolled up and a tattoo.
Right.
You don't really, you don't have a moment to absorb it. And Jillian was, you know, that took a minute. That was very hard.
Talk to me about Jillian. She is like the ice queen ready to slit your throat with a knife.
Yeah.
She is so severe, so harsh. The lines that you have, you know, really accentuating the cheekbones, and the lips are more pursed, and she doesn't open her mouth as wide as you would think. It's like the skin has been stretched taut. How did you come up with this look for Jillian? It's amazing.
It was hard. I'm going to tell you, it was hard because I think we would have been at odds. I think she was right. I don't know. The hair, I brought my friend Camille on to do the hair, but I felt like, to me, it was sort of a little, and she's already played Margaret Thatcher, but I think it was a little bit of a, like, a little ode to the late Margaret Thatcher because of the blondness and because, you know, if we'd given her a different kind of, like, helmet hair, she would have been, or Nancy Reagan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, of course, Jillian's so friggin' gorgeous that I think of her in, like, as the mom therapist, which I love, in Sex Education.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talked the first time, I think by email, you know, she said something to me like, she doesn't look good with lipstick on and she's better. And I know her look. Her look is, I'll say it, I mean, she's basically from television, right? She's not a feature film actress. From television, where she's beautiful. She wears very little makeup, a bit of eyeliner, a bit of mascara, you know, a little base. But she always is natural and beautiful and soft.
Yes.
Always soft, right? But this character can't look like that. And so I told her, you have a high-class problem because you look, basically, I was really surprised at her casting. But that's what we do. So I think when my team, Sabrina, I said, we got to go like a lip. And I knew she would hate it, but a red, purplish red, which those women wear. You know, we know what people look like.
Yes.
And with that hair. And it doesn't flap. The lipstick ages her and makes her look, well, we all know, because everybody's mother or aunt says that she's a hard-looking woman. Remember that expression?
Yes, very much
and
so.
I remember hearing that from someone. She's a hard-looking woman. And I never knew, but of course, red lipstick does that. And so we did, and it, of course, makes the, you know, and that lighting, and of course, no corrective makeup, and so I thought we kind of did. I would have personally, I think it went almost archetype, like with the suit on and the hair. It did become a little bit, it's again really hard to do, isn't it? It's really hard to define, because I like characters to be unsuspecting. You know, like the bad one is not looking like that, but in this case it worked. And she was great.
I was so taken, and it just struck me so hard by the look that she has, because I did not expect to see Jillian have a look like that in a film.
Yeah. No, I know. It's so interesting, isn't it?
And to see her in the scenes with Evan and the contrast between the two, and like the more disheveled Evan's hair gets, the more his great genius plans are going awry, shall we say. So things change on Evan. We get some more sweat, beads of sweat on him.
Yeah.
Especially when mom is like standing right behind him. And she's got that, we all know it, the I told you so look. The combination of what you've done with their looks when they are together and playing opposite speaks volumes about the mother-son and the corporate CEO dynamics.
Sure, yeah.
On every level, Donald, the makeup in this film, the hair and makeup, is just superlative. And it tells a story. And it defines these characters. If you saw nothing but for Jared's face and his eyes as Aries, that tells us all. That tells us everything we need to know about Aries.
So interesting. Isn't that so interesting when that happens? No, I'm really, you know, I think I'm very proud of it. And I think looking back, you know, we just have to kind of go forward and think, well, honestly, Debbie, I really wanted another one to do. I saw how to do things differently or how I would work it or different characters or Evan, you know, that's kind of, but I think it's celebrating what we do and what we love. And when I'm watching all the new movies coming out and thinking, oh, that looks, it's amazing. And, you know, I feel that a bit about Spider-Woman. Like, I feel I didn't work on it, but I enjoyed it. And I felt sort of the same thing for that movie, was that it's just been written off. And I think it has some very good work in it, especially makeup.
It really does.
Oh, yeah. But it's like, my hope for this is look, I mean, we all want to be recognized at some point. I've had my recognition for sure in the past, but I really hope this movie would at least get like the BAFTA or Guild Awards or the Critics' Choice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know it's not an Oscar bait movie in it for my world, but they still asked me to do a book for the Oscars. And I thought, well, I will, but I think if it got in the world of Critics' Choice or something, I think would feel, because these movies need it the most, and the big, big movies don't, if that makes sense?
It makes perfect sense, and even though a lot of people are consider Tron Ares a big, a tentpole movie, the subtlety with which this film is made, the subtlety, the nuance, and the precision that went into this film, it goes beyond what is a tentpole movie.
Right, yeah.
Because this is a celebration of the artisans, the individual disciplines. This is not a Guillermo del Toro overseeing his dream of 50 years to bring Frankenstein to life.
Yeah.
And like you said, Spider-Woman. The costumes, the makeup, divine.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They deserve
it
to
really
be recognized.
Is. Yeah, you know, Hedda, I love the costumes.
I was just going to say that. Hedda, and not just the costumes, but the production design. That wallpaper in that mansion with the peacocks, absolutely Art Deco perfection.
Yeah, the costume, I felt that with Frankenstein. For me, it's the costume. There was something
about the costume.
The costume, fabulous. But Hedda, the costumes really got me.
Yeah.
I think in a way, because it's so effective in the sense that in Frankenstein, well, you know, it's period, it's big, it's lavish. But the costumes were really that one, you know, what's her name? The dresses are just fantastic. They're just fantastic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for me, it's sometimes those films that had a little special detail that you don't see. You know, Smashing Machine. There's another movie I saw where the costumes were really great. The Colin Farrell one. You know, Colin Farrell, you know, The Ballad of a Small Player. It's fun. I mean, the costume is fun. It's a costume and you know it and all that. But it's really fun and it kind of, it's got that feel to it. So I think that's what Tron, for the suits, you know, what do? You can't have complicated hair. You can't. You absolutely cannot. Or it'll be a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
You know? And with the girls, like doing Greta, the makeup, very hard again. Asian women, I mean, she's Korean-American. The makeups can go very wrong. People don't understand that. But, you know, you see it in how easily the makeup reads.
Mm-hmm.
And can look very heavy and not in a great way.
And of course, you've also got your snow scenes with Greta. And
yeah, well, that's in the volume. And that was so funny because I actually did that podcast with Greg Fraser and Roger Deakins about the volume set. Like, it's all magenta. So you suddenly look like, you know, you suddenly look like you're a farm worker, you know, in the sun all day. Am I allowed to say that?
But yes, you're allowed.
Jeff said to me, can you come and look at this? Have you changed? Have you guys changed? And Sabrina, who's my key, I said, Sabrina, what's going on? What are we doing here? everything. But I learned that from Greg Frey, who, and of course, none of them like that volume, those working on the volume. But it does project magenta onto the skin. And then, of course, take a person who is like Asian American or a Latino guy like Arturo,
mm-hmm.
with yellow in the skin. So it becomes very technical for us, because then you've got green or yellow in the skin, a skin tone, and bam, you put warm on it. And Greta, suddenly it looked like we put her base two shades darker.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's never ending. So, you know, you have those, that's another kind of technical aspect of it. So for that, I'm really thankful. It's a whole new thing.
Well, job so well done once again, my friend.
Thank you for that. I really appreciate it.
And you know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to have to hang up with you, because now I have to talk to your partner in crime, Jeff Cronenweth.
Oh, well, tell him I love him so much.
I got both of you today, back to back. And then I'm talking to Ron Bartlett, the sound mixer.
Oh, fantastic. And a great mixer.
Oh, my.
Just fantastic. What a great. You know, we had such great people. And Dave Seeger. Yeah, between he and Jeff, I just think what they created, and I saw it day to day, it was very. But also, they didn't do it with any drama. They didn't do it with, like, meanness or anything. It was always so great, and for that I'm so thankful, because they know what they're doing.
Yeah. Yep. And that makes
all the difference. Jeff, for me, I will.
So I'm gonna let you go. This has been so lovely getting to chat with you again, Donald.
Well, likewise. You know, I feel like we're friends now. So. And I started a movie here on Friday. Can you believe? Right here in L.A.
Which one are you doing?
So it's really nice. It's called Behemoth.
Tony Gilroy's film.
And we started on Friday with Pedro Pascal and Olivia Wilde. And we have these amazing new actors, because they're musicians, a lot of our other people. And classical musicians. And Tony Gilroy is fantastic.
Ooh. Well, I can't
wait. He's got a good eye.
I cannot wait for that one.
It's going to be good, and it's here, and it's just different. It's just different to do a movie like this, and it's not, you know, you'll see, but to meet all these people who've played in orchestras all over the world. I mean, Prodigy's played cello. A girl's like 23.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah, and the music. So, okay, I won't keep you. You're busy. Thank you so much for this.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you're the best. You're so supportive, and I like I said before, it never goes unnoticed, and you know, most appreciate it.
Well, thank you, and we will chat again.
Okay. All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.